I tried to do a lot of new events too, so there's a lot of different style events this year, and I'm excited. We do have the champion of last year return with us, Brandon. He's here, and so, you know, we have to make sure we smack him down hard this year.
Let's go!
He's going to be tough competition. All right, so that's the way he went. Wear him out.
Didn't you just serve him?
Yeah, you want some dessert, Brandon? But I'm excited. Then there's a new event that we're doing, and it's a tryout. Immediately following the men's event, single event, we're going to have a team competition, and it's a three-man team competition. If you want to enter, you have to self-organize. I think we have a sign-up sheet for that, but even if you didn't, you can still do it last minute. But basically, you just have to self-organize into a group of three, and we're going to have a competition for them. So the initial event, and I have some sheets that have all the different details as far as all the events. I'll put them out here on the table when we're done with our service so you can look them over. But the first event is going to be you have to carry one of your team members down the field, and then you have to carry a different team member all the way back. So that's how you, that's basically the first elimination. The top five triads are going to move on to the next rounds, and it's going to have kind of a similar style where you have to pick events, and there's more than enough events to go around. So it's kind of your stronger team, your faster team, your smarter team. There's kind of like some different tendencies with those. And then the final, it's going to turn into, when you get to two teams, there's a three option pick. So the first option is going to be a tug of war. So that's one option for the final route, for the final bout. The next one is a dodgeball is an option. Or the third one is a chest off. So basically it's like, are you guys strong, agile, or smart? And so it's definitely an interesting game. We'll see how it goes. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Obviously the Bible is the three mightiest, and so it's kind of interesting dynamic. So we'll try it out. I'm excited about it. Again, there's also gift cards for first and second in our triad competition as well. So highly encourage you guys to participate in that. I think we have the pool again tomorrow. I think there's zip line, everything like that. So of course you're free to do whatever. Tomorrow night's dinner is going to be at 7, so it's going to actually be a little bit later. And then we're going to have our service at 8. So just FYI, tomorrow night will be a little bit different. And then Saturday morning, we're going to do our men's preaching again. So I believe breakfast is at 8 a.m. if you want breakfast on Saturday. And then we'll have a men's service at 9 a.m. And then we'll try to basically get out of here around 10:30 or whatever as soon as we're done with that. So if you want to preach on Saturday, just prepare a 5-minute sermon, and you can just put your name and on a piece of paper. What happens is basically a cup going around, just put your name on a piece of paper, we'll put it in the cup. You don't have to come up to me and tell me, like, hey, I'm thinking about it, I'm not sure. Will I not? Does Pastor Shelley love me? Does he not? Like, I don't care. Basically, there's going to be a cup that comes around on Saturday. You either put your name in, you don't, or I put your name in for you. I don't know what the options are. That's just what's going to happen. So if you want to do it. I highly encourage you to participate if you want. For tonight's service, we're going to do kind of a traditional service. We'll have a couple songs. I'm not going to do another announcement time or anything like that, but we'll have a couple of songs. We'll have a Bible reading, and then we'll do preaching. So basically, we'll have just three songs, and then we'll do a Bible reading. And then I'll preach, and then we'll have one final song. So we still have our four songs, but I'd like to just have volunteers do that. So who wants to read the Bible tonight? Anybody want to read the chapter? Samuel, all right. Samuel, you get to read. And also, who wants to lead a song? Alberto, you can be our first. Matt, you can be our second. Remy, you can be our third. Do I get a fourth? Brandon can be our fourth, all right? And it's going to be dealer's choice, so when you come up here, you can pick any song you want. We've got hymnals here, and we'll let you lead us off. So basically, it will go Alberto, Brother Illy, Remy, Sammy, you're going to read for me. I'll give you some chapter, and then Brandon, you'll finish when we're done this evening, all right? So we'll go ahead and kick it off. Brother Alberto, you want to lead us in some kind of music?
All right. Number 27, the old rugged cross. Number 27. Number 27, the old rugged cross. My third favorite chapter. All right, on the first.
On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear into dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will pray
right, turn to 2:30. I thought it would be appropriate for the forecast this week to sing about sunlight. Alright, 2:30, I'm first. Walking in
sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Song number 449, Dwelling in Beulah Land. Song 449, let's sing it together on the first.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Doubting fear and things of earth in vain to me are falling. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that retreating. Nothing then can reach me till you are there. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky.
Praise God!
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a mountain full supply, for I am dwelling in you, the land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here God can harm me. I am safe forever in you, the land. I'm living on a mountain underneath the cloudless sky.
Praise God!
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in you, the land. Viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in you, the land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky.
Praise God!
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in you, the land.
Timothy chapter 4 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this conference. Thank you for the fellowship here. And God, I thank you for the word of God. I ask you to fill Pastor Shelley with your Holy Spirit and help him preach your word to us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you that singing is epic in here.
Yeah,
man.
Especially considering that if any of y'all are singing by yourself, it would sound terrible.
Yeah.
Yet, all together, somehow it sounds good. It's like a miracle or something.
Yeah.
But no, I really appreciate you guys being here, and I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to preach to you guys this evening. And I know a lot of you hear me regularly, but I like to rip on you a little bit harder when you come up here. So apparently you guys like it. I don't know what the deal is. I preached like 2 hours last year. I just came here before, so you can only blame yourself. That's basically what you have to do. Now here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's one verse I just really wanted to kind of cherry pick and really think about here in verse 12, where the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit, in faith and purity." Now, this verse is obviously given to a young pastor, a young man in faith, Timothy, and it's very clear that he has a really important task to be a pastor. But really what I think is important about this phrasing, or what I like, is how he's supposed to be an example. And, you know, the word example can mean a lot of different things. But I believe in this context, another way that you could kind of look at this is to call Timothy a hero. And he's supposed to be kind of a hero of the faith to the next generation, to his church. And it tells him all these different places, obviously in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity, basically just everything. He just wants him to be a hero, and he wants him to be an example to the rest of the congregation, to those that are going to be in his church, and those whom he's going to be leading. And what I think is really important is that we realize that we also need to take this admonition seriously, and we also need to be a good example unto other individuals, and we all should try to be someone's hero. And the title of my sermon this evening is just, Be Someone's Hero. Be someone's hero. Now, what kind of gave me the idea for the sermon, or what I was thinking about originally, was the idea of when we die and go to heaven, just kind of wanting to see some of the heroes of the faith. You know, going to heaven, and of course, the most important person to see is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and to be with God, and of course all the praise and honor and glory is going to him. But I also believe there's an aspect of heaven that is us also enjoying fellowship with other believers and getting to meet and hang out with certain heroes of the faith. You have a few different pictures in the Bible of this. You have the poor guy that was like a leper his whole life, and he eventually ends up getting to be with in Abraham's bosom. Now, this wasn't paradise in the center of the earth, folks.
Right?
What it was is that Abraham literally had his arm around Lazarus,
right,
and he's got him in his bosom, and they're buddies.
Right.
And, you know, I guarantee that guy's hero was probably Abraham. He probably looked up to Abraham. It was really cool to get to meet Abraham in his life. And a person that I think a lot of us could relate to as being a hero, be maybe the Apostle Paul. Like, I think of the Apostle Paul as being a great hero of the faith, and someone who would be really interesting to see and talk to and fellowship with. And he's someone I look up to personally. And what I was thinking about is, you know, while I have heroes of the faith, and I know you have heroes of the faith that we look to in the Bible and in our own personal lives, is the Apostle Paul, I'm sure, also had the exact same experience, where he had heroes of the faith. And I was thinking about, like, who would Paul's heroes be? And I was like, well, I think one of them would probably be Ananias, considering the fact that he was sent unto him. He was willing to give him the gospel and to help him get saved. And Ananias had to be pretty brave to seek out Paul and to be willing to give him the gospel and be willing to help him,
right,
considering the fact that the Apostle Paul was Saul back then.
Yeah.
That was what he referred to. And Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church.
Yeah.
Saul was handling people off to prison. He was what you would consider a fed, okay? He was the fed in the group, and you didn't want to go and search out the fed because he was handling everybody over to prison, to the American gulag. And so it was a lot of bravery and courage for him to talk to Ananias. And I'm sure that the Apostle Paul, you know, to him, he wants to hang out with Ananias. Another person I think that Paul is probably excited to see and fellowship with in heaven was Stephen. Someone that was a great hero to Paul. And I believe that Stephen was a great hero that caused the Apostle Paul to be the man that he was. What could motivate the Apostle Paul to go through all the difficulty, persecution, and really several near-death experiences? I believe seeing Stephen being so faithful and willing to die for the faith. And so the Apostle Paul has the hero of Stephen. And we can find this all over the Bible. You know, Elisha has Elijah as his hero. And he gets to follow his faith. He gets to follow his example. You have great men in the Bible like Moses, who ends up having Joshua. And of course, who's Joshua's obvious, very clear hero of the faith? It was Moses. But, you know, what you see in the Bible is after Joshua leaves, you know, there's no one that really ends up becoming another hero for a while. You kind of have this drop-off for a while. And then you have to go through the book of Judges for God to keep raising up a new deliverer or judge or savior. And those heroes of the faith would bring back the nation or bring back people. And what's important is that we have heroes in every single generation.
Amen.
And that we realize, even though we have heroes and we like to look at them, that we don't just glorify our heroes, but rather we become heroes for the next generation.
That's good.
And let me tell you something. Any of you guys in here that have children, any of the men in this room that already have children, you're already a hero of your children, like automatically. They already think your dad is the dad is the strongest guy. Dad is the best guy. Dad's amazing. Dad is like basically their instant superhero. They already love him. But what can happen as men don't strive to be a hero, and then their children lose faith in that dad that was that hero. They don't end up becoming the hero, and they don't stay the hero in their children's lives. And it's important that men and young men have heroes to model their life after. Men that they can look to, and men that they can follow. And when the Apostle Paul says, hey, follow me as I follow Christ, that was a great example that he was setting down to say, hey, I am living the right life. I'm the one serving God. I'm doing good so that you can follow my example. He's telling Timothy, hey, you need to be a good example. You need to set the example. Why? You need to be a hero for the next generation because the Apostle Paul is going to die. And you know what? Who's going to carry that torch? Who's going to lead on to the next generation? And you know what? We need more men that are willing to say, you know what? I can be someone's hero. And you know, you don't have to be a pastor to be a hero. You don't have to be the Apostle Paul to be a hero. You know what? It's very easy to be a hero as far as just what you have to do. It's just hard to do.
Right.
Knowing what to do is not necessarily as difficult as it is doing.
Yeah.
And what makes someone a hero, there's a lot to it. But I have 3 points this evening that I kind of want to talk about. You know, how can we be heroes? And what could we do to try to be someone's hero? Well, the most important point, I think, is number one, is you need to be disciplined. You have to be disciplined to be a hero. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to go to another place in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. But our society lacks heroes.
Yeah.
Think about the presidential election that's coming up. No one's excited about it because we don't really have any heroes. There's no one for a godly Christian to get super excited about.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people are rallying around Trump right now, and he's kind of like the only, quote, hero, I would argue, in our generation. But isn't it pretty sad when Donald Trump's the hero?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, which comic book do you want to read where Donald Trump's the hero? You know, that's it's just really embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's just a shame and a mockery that we don't have any men in this country that could be a legitimate hero. And it's like, we're America, we're supposed to be the greatest nation on earth. And it's like, every time you look at the presidential candidates of the last few decades, I'm thinking, like, this is our best and brightest?
Yeah,
this is. Yeah, how can we claim that we're such a great nation when this is the people that would lead our nation? People that are covetous, and people that are prideful, and people that have no real, you know, accomplishments of value anymore. No character. They can't even maintain a family. And yet these people are supposed to be the leaders of our country, the leaders of our nation.
Yeah,
and it's just sad. It's an embarrassment.
Yep.
And, of course, the generation that has no leaders and no heroes is going to really, you know, lower itself,
yeah,
really degrade itself, really destroy itself, because everything rises and falls on leadership.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And when there's a void in leadership, what needs to happen is someone needs to step up and be a hero.
Amen.
You say, well, how does someone step up to be a hero? You know how you become a hero? You have to discipline yourself. Heroes are made for discipline. I don't care what hero you look to, they were all disciplined.
Yep.
Whether you look at Michael Jordan, whether you look at Wayne Gretzky, whether you look at Tiger Woods, these men are some of the most disciplined people you will ever meet in your entire life. Practiced meticulously, put in so much effort and energy, worked harder than their competition, and they put their talents to use. You know, you don't just automatically become the best at anything overnight. It takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
And the best and the brightest and those that are going to achieve great things are very disciplined.
Yeah.
Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So the Apostle Paul is making a comparison here to athletic competition, or not even just necessarily athletic, but just competition in general, mastery of any particular practice, whether that be intellectual practice, or whether that be an athletic competition, or whether that be a business practice. He says if you want to master something, you have to be temperate in all things, and you have to keep under your body. You have to exercise self-control. You cannot expect to be someone great without putting in an extraordinary amount of effort and energy. You know, we love to think of just being Superman, where you just came from a separate planet and you're just automatically the strongest, fastest, smartest, everything. You didn't even have to try. You know what? Superman doesn't exist. It's fake, okay?
Right.
It was written by a Jew, folks. Of course, Jews would love to have infinite power and wealth and be lazy at the same time, okay? That's what they inherit. But when it comes to the Christian faith, you know what? God wants people to work really hard and put in a lot of effort and energy and to discipline themselves and to be temperate and exercise subjection, where they simply say, you know I want this, I would like to do this, but I'm going to say no to myself.
Yeah.
If you can't say no to yourself, you're never going to conquer anything. You have to first conquer yourself.
Yeah, right.
You want to be a hero? I want to defeat great enemies? Well, how about you start with you? You are the first one that needs to be conquered. You're the first. You have to die to your flesh. You have to crucify the flesh. And you know, there's many men who ended up failing because they couldn't say no to themselves. Go to Proverbs chapter 23 for a moment. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. Now, you know some people that were not heroes of the faith? How about Nadab and Abihu?
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. How many people in here are named Nadab and Abihu? Why do you think it is that no one is named Nadab and Abihu? because they're not anyone's hero. They were never, you know, the title of service is be someone's hero. You know whose hero they are? No one. No one likes them. No one wants to be them. No one is thinking like, when I grow up, I can't wait to be like Nadab and Abihu. And of course, we don't know exactly what they did. I can't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. But the Bible says they offered strange fire unto the Lord. And then right after this, Moses makes it clear. He says, hey, no one's supposed to be drinking wine in the house of God.
Yeah. Yeah, right, yeah.
And so it's kind of like wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like, hey, I threw someone out of church. And FYI, fornication will get you thrown out of church. It's like, I wonder why they got thrown out of church.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, well, we kind of know what happened, don't we? Okay? And so it's really important that as men, we don't allow ourselves to be taken over by some other substance. And probably the most abused thing out there is alcohol.
Right.
I mean, if you were going to say what has subdued the vast majority of American men, and probably men across the world, it's just alcohol in general.
Right.
Alcohol has conquered so many men and destroyed so many men.
Right.
And you know what? Alcoholics are no one's hero.
Right.
No one looks to alcoholics and say, wow, there was this really raging alcoholic in my life, and I can't wait to be like him when I'm
older.
You know what I mean? The Bible is clear in Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker.
Yeah, right.
Wine is a mocker.
Yeah,
you want to be made fun of? Drink alcohol.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Drinking alcohol will only encourage people to make fun of you and to laugh at you and to ridicule you and look down upon you. Strong drink is raging. You want to get in bar fights, you want to destroy your life, destroy your physical body, drink liquor. Drink all kinds of alcoholic beverages that have a high level of potency. And boy, you can destroy yourself fast. The Bible says, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
That's right.
You are an
right.
idiot if you drink alcohol.
Yeah. 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 Right.
You're a loser.
Right.
You're not a hero. You are a loser.
Yeah.
And our society has become a society of sottish children, as God describes them, which means a bunch of drunkards, which is a bunch of losers.
Yeah. Right.
Our country is filled with losers today.
Yeah.
And they're not their children's hero anymore because they're a bunch of drunks. And you know what? Being a drunkard does not impress anyone. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 21. The Bible says, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rat. What will drinking do for you? It'll make you poor. And let me tell you something. Drinking is an expensive habit. Boy, is that an expensive behavior. Boy, it just costs so much money just to even buy the booze alone. Let alone the bar tab. Let alone the munchies you have afterwards. Let alone all of the tickets. Hey, you want to get a DUI? $10,000. It's probably way more because inflation. I don't know. Buy not the economy, you know, it's like, is it $20,000 now? I mean, you could go to jail, you kill someone, you destroy someone's life. I was listening to somebody give a testimony online on YouTube, and they were saying that their dad had gone to a bar, drank a few alcoholic beverages, probably three or four beers, which, again, I think all drinking is sinful.
But
especially getting drunk. Having three or four, he probably wasn't drunk, but he was across the, you know, legal limit. And legal limits are not that high. I mean, it's only, I think in Texas, like 0.08 BAC. And so this guy was over the limit. He's just driving home at night, drove perfectly. He didn't do anything wrong. But you know what? Some random kids in a family pulled out in front of him, ran a red light, pulled out in front of him, hit him head on, killed all of them, and then went to jail for decades. You know why? Because he drank.
Right.
He was a perfect driver. He's like, whoa, I'll drink. I'm a great driver when I'm drinking. Yeah, but what happens when someone pulls out in front of you and you smash into them? It wasn't his fault. But you know what? Just because he was drinking, automatically his fault, automatically going to go to jail, automatically get prison time, automatically destroy his life. How much did that cost him?
Yeah.
How expensive is that?
Yeah.
You know what? Drinking alcohol is stupid. And let me tell you who's going to most likely have that scenario is you in this room that have heard this sermon and then you decide to go drink.
Amen.
You know, God is so much more merciful to the unsaved, to people that don't know any better. I'm sure your buddy that's not saved drinks and drives every day of his life, and he may never face the consequences of that. But you know what? You sitting in this room are so much more likely. And when Nadab and Abihu drank in the house of God, what did God do? He just killed him right away.
Right.
How much is that worth? You know, drinking alcohol is one of the dumbest decisions you can ever make. And I'll tell you what, it'll instantly destroy you from ever being someone's hero.
Yep.
You know, when you get drunk and you hit your wife in the face, your children instantly lose all respect for you. When you get drunk and you come home and you hit your kid, you kick the dog, you do whatever, you totally ruin the reputation of your hero status that your children had for you. You totally destroy it and ruin it, and they don't look up to you the same way, and you're no one's hero anymore. Why? Because you're just not disciplined. You know, the disciplined man says, you know what? I'm not going to have alcohol in my house.
Amen.
I'm not going to go and hang out with people that are drinking.
Right.
I'm not even going to look at it.
Right.
I don't even know, need to go down the aisle at Walmart.
Yep.
And you know who drinks a lot of alcohol? Faggots do anyways. Yep. So I'm not even interested in drinking faggot light.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Come on.
I mean, is it interesting that the biggest promoters of trans faggots is beer companies?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that really shocks me. It was like, oh man, I'm never going to drink my light again. It was like, join the club.
Come on.
Hey, if you have that stance, just stop drinking all of them.
Because
let me tell you something. Coors was one of the first to ever promote faggots.
Yeah.
You know, with their love train or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the AIDS train is what they should have been promoting.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. You know why fags love alcohol so much? It's because they rape men through alcohol.
That's right.
Have you ever read the Bible?
Right.
What happened to Noah?
Yep.
I mean, the first example of sodomy, how does he even get it accomplished? Because think about it. The first person ever even try sodomy had to try it with a straight person. It never happened.
Yeah.
So you know what they had to do? They had to get him drunk just to even try and do some kind of a perverted, sick act. And you know what? That is what fags do, is they try to prey on people when they're weak, when they don't know what's going on, what's happened to them. How would it be worth it if you drank alcohol and some sodomite did something to you? How could you even live with yourself? Like, that would be the worst. The absolute worst. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, it's just too inconceivable. I think people would literally even kill themselves. Because they would just be like, this is just so embarrassing, this is so disgusting, this is so filthy. Just that risk alone, why would I ever want to touch alcohol? I mean, it's just, dude, there's no reason to ever drink alcohol. And you've never seen anybody do anything wonderful to you drinking alcohol.
Right?
They break through windows and shatter their hand. They crash their car. They destroy themselves. They commit adultery. They do even worse things than committing adultery. They vomit in the night and die in their own vomit. I mean, it's just the worst thing. And it just pisses me off when people that go to our church end up going back to drinking.
Yeah.
And you know what? It happens. It is real. Don't sit in here and think like, ah, why are you teaching about drinking? No one's going to drink. Oh, it happens.
That's right. Yep.
And let me tell you something. I already know. Your cousin and your uncle and your brother and your coworker and your best friend and your roommate and your father-in-law and your dad, they drink.
Yeah.
And they constantly put pressure on you to drink.
Yep.
And they constantly want you to go around and hang out with them and go to the bar. Hey, I've been there. I've done that. I remember working at my place of business. They're just bringing the booze in right through the door. And say like, hey, everybody come to cocktail hour. Everybody come to the bar, you know, in the office. And I'm just like, no, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to hang out with them. And I don't care what they say about me.
Yeah.
You know, what was embarrassing is how I worked with people in Arizona. And Christians would be like afraid to say that they don't drink. But the Mormons didn't have a problem. And it was so funny because I would say, like, oh, I don't drink. They're like, oh, are you Mormon?
Yeah.
No, I'm a fundamental Baptist.
Right.
You know, why don't we bring it back where they realize, like, oh, don't offer fundamental Baptist booze because they'll always say no.
Right.
They'll never drink it.
Yeah.
Right. I don't need to drink alcohol because I want to be my kid's hero. That's why.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's not a good reason to drink it anyways. It tastes like this.
Yeah.
Go to Jeremiah chapter 35. Go to Jeremiah chapter 35. But just aside, I'm never going to drink alcohol ever again. Just have that discipline and just say, I'm not going to do it. And you say, I struggle with that. Okay, well, here's how you fix it. Never be around it.
Yep.
You know, you can't drink something that's literally not in your presence.
Right.
You're like, I don't know, how am I going to do that? Take all the booze and throw it in the trash.
Right.
Well, what about the bar? Don't go to the bar ever.
Right.
Well, what about my cousin's house? Don't go to his house.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm never going to be able to drink. Exactly. That's the point. If you don't go around it, you can't drink it. Okay? And it's really important to just stay away from it. Now, there's men in the Bible that were given this admonition to not drink any kind of drink like this. And not even just literally alcoholic type beverages, just anything related. Just anything like it. Let's read a little bit of this passage. Jeremiah 35, look at verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink ye wine! But they said, we will drink no wine. What are you, Mormons? Well, they didn't say that. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye, nor your sons, forever. Neither shall you build a house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. We have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. You know who is a hero in the Bible? Jonadab.
Yeah, that's good.
And I love this portion of scripture in this context because Jonadab is not only telling, hey, don't drink alcohol. He's like, don't even drink anything close to it. Don't even have the 0% beer.
Yeah.
Don't even have anything that even resembles it.
Right.
Just get all of it out. Hey, don't even have a vineyard.
Yeah.
Just so you're not even tempted to even go that route or even go that direction or even want to create any kind of wine. Because, of course, if you're making grapes, if you have the vineyard, well, there might be a big temptation to finally partake, drink. And I really like also, think about how they follow this commandment. They said, hey, we haven't drunk, and you know who also didn't drink? Their wives and their sons and their daughters. And how long could this last? It could last forever.
Amen.
As long as each generation, the man said, you know what? I'm going to be the next hero. Hey, Jonadab was a hero in our family, and I'm going to be the hero for my son, and my son's going to be the hero for his son, and you know what? Our house is just done drinking alcohol forever! Hey, I'm not going to drink it, my wife's not going to drink it, my daughter's not going to drink it, my sons are going to drink it. Hey, we're going to stay far away from it.
Amen.
We're not even going to build a vineyard. We're not going to go anywhere over there. How are you going to send your kids out to college? I'm not!
Right.
We're not going to that vineyard of Sodom.
Right.
Because let me tell you something.
you raise your kids to love God and to serve God and be soul winners, and then you send them to college, they will reverse course.
Yeah.
Maybe not the first 6 months, maybe not the first year, but I'm telling you, you put your kids in that disgusting filth hole, many of them,
right?
Maybe not all, but many of them would fall.
Yep.
Because the pressure is just too big.
Yep.
The sin is too tempting. Yep. You just have to just be like, I'm not even going to go anywhere near it.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to build a vineyard. I'm not even going to have anything to do with it. And look, they exercise their self-control so well. Why? Because Jonadab was obviously a great hero. And you know, we need more heroes in the faith that just say, you know what? We're just not going to do this ever again. And, you know, they took it really serious. I mean, this is a commandment that everybody knows about. His wife knows about, his kids know about it. You know, he's not just like hiding it or thinking like, well, I'm going to just try it. No, they've already established, like, we're just never going to do it forever.
Yeah.
And I like this man's authority. Think about what he's saying. He's saying, hey, none of you or your wives or my grandchildren or any of them, they're ever allowed to do this again. Talk about man.
Yeah.
Talk about the patriarchy. Okay?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm all in. I like that man realized, hey, you know what? I can make rules for every single one of my descendants forever. And think about this. These weren't even like young kids or teenagers. These are grown men. These are grown-ass men, okay? And you know what they're doing? They're obeying Dad. They're saying, hey, Dad told me not to drink forever, so I'm never going to drink ever.
That's right.
It's not like, oh, Dad's old now, Dad's an old fart, Dad doesn't know any better. No, Dad told me to never drink, and I'm never going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay away from it. And you know, we need sons that actually respect their father.
Yeah.
You know why a lot of sons don't respect their father? Because the father's not respectable.
Because
the father's not a hero.
That's it.
Be a hero so that your sons can follow that example.
Yeah.
Do what Paul said to Timothy and be an example in faith. Be an example in what? Purity.
Yeah, right.
Now look, there was nothing wrong with drinking juice, but you know what? He's so extreme, he just wants to make sure. There's nothing wrong with living in a house, but you know what? He was just like, I'm going to create certain boundaries that we're never going to cross into this threshold. And one other thing that's really important about this chapter, it is in the midst of one of the worst generations that's ever lived.
Yeah, it's good.
One of the most wicked societies, where I quoted from you how the children of Israel were sottish children. What is that? Drunkards. When the society was literally all drunk. Everybody was a drunkard. Everybody's drinking alcohol. Everybody's going the way of the world. Everybody's going the way of Sodom. Everybody drinks alcohol every single day at their job. You know what they said? We don't.
Yeah, right.
What we don't.
It's good.
Hey, I don't care if every single person drinks alcohol. Me and my family don't.
Amen.
Me and my family aren't going to do that.
Yep.
You know, we're going to follow the Lord. But you know, there's a lot of people in the Bible, they're just not ever going to be a hero. They destroyed their heritage. You know, how about Lot? How many Lots have you met, Lot? I mean, this guy allowed alcohol to cause him to become a dad and grandfather at the same time. It sounds like a country song. It's Genesis.
Okay.
Genesis 19. I mean, if Genesis 19 couldn't have gotten any worse, and then it took that turn.
Yeah.
And then he said, and then when it happened again the next night.
Right.
Like, if it wasn't enough to become grandpa and pa at the same time, he did it twice.
Right.
Why? Only one reason. Alcohol.
Yeah.
It would have never happened. It would have never, ever happened but alcohol. And of course, they're two of the biggest feminist movements in the Bible, the Moabites and the Ammonites. They end up worshiping false gods and all kinds of wickedness and evil. And you know what? He gave his strength unto women through alcohol.
Yeah.
And you know what? Women can take advantage of you through alcohol. Because for some reason, you know, it's already that like 50% of girls look good. When you drink alcohol, it's like 150%. And you know what? Those lady boys aren't the 50, the extra 50%. Dude, it's getting gross out there.
Yeah,
right.
Come on.
Yep.
You think that I'm kidding?
No.
And let me just say something, okay? This is a men's preacher.
Yeah.
that to look upon a woman and lust after her is to commit adultery with her.
Yeah.
In your heart.
Uh-oh.
How about you guys that are looking at trainings online and you didn't even know it? Let's put that into words. Whosoever looketh at a tranny and lusteth after her hath committed adultery with a tranny in his heart.
Right.
Aren't you excited to look at the internet all of a sudden?
That's good.
I'm telling you, alcohol will destroy you.
Yeah.
Don't go down that road. Our society is sick and disgusting. You know what? Even in the worst generation that could ever possibly exist, you can still serve God.
Amen.
Right. You can still say, you know what? Hey, I'm going to be a record by this. Hey, I'm going to follow the example of Jonadab. You know what? They would have never done this. It would have never happened if Jonadab wasn't a hero. If Jonadab wasn't disciplined. You need to decide, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to be different. And you can be a great person. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. After you all just vomited. It's basically like the end of Ace Ventura Pet Detective. Where they turn the female detective around. And the whole police department just throw it. Because they didn't just lust, they kissed that. That's an epic scene. Jim Carrey's brushing his teeth for like 10 hours. You can't, but here's the problem. You can't get clean from that. Right? That's a permanent problem. That's like AIDS. That lasts a week. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage Timothy to be strong about the fact that, hey, look, you're going to have to go through some hard things, but you know what? Just become a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Just already decide in your mind, already choose, you know what? I'm just ready to be a partaker of whatever afflictions or suffering or whatever tribulation. I've already counted the cost, and I've determined I'm going to finish the course. I've determined I'm going to be a partaker of these sufferings. And you know, in order to be a hero, you don't only have to be disciplined, you also have to be determined. You have to decide right now, you know what? I'm making this rule, and I'm going to carry forward with it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick with my discipline, and I'm determined to finish. I'm determined to be a partaker. I'm determined, hey, whatever afflictions may abide me, hey, I'm going to do it. I've already decided. I mean, what's the great hymn? I have decided. You know what I like about that song? It's got a D at the end of it.
Yeah,
right.
It's not like, I am deciding if I will follow Jesus. Perhaps I'll follow. No. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's not like, well, maybe I'll just try Christianity. I'll try being a fundamental Baptist. I'll try being a hero. You know what? I'm going to be a hero. I've already decided, I've already determined that it's too important for me to be my child's hero, that nothing should move me. Nothing should get me off the course. I don't care what afflictions. I'm going to partake of those afflictions because it's worth it to be a hero, my kids. It's worth it to be a hero in the next generation. It's worth it to be a hero in the faith. And you know what? To glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ through my example of being a partaker of the sufferings. And you know what? You'll never suffer as much as Christ did.
Right.
So why don't you get over yourself and just be a partaker of Christ's sufferings and count it a blessing that you even get to suffer for his name.
Yeah, come on, right.
You know, when the Apostle Peter and John suffered, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. They were like, well, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I don't know if I want to be an apostle anymore. And you know, Peter kind of struggled with that because he's kind of like, asked, like, hey, what about John? You know, what's going to happen? You know, what's happening with me? And Jesus is like, hey, you're going to die a really bad thing, so that's why I'm here. But you know what he's kind of saying? You know what Jesus is kind of saying, Peter? Be a partaker of the afflictions. Just do it. Just man up and just say, you know what? It's going to hurt. I'm going to do it anyways. Like the Mighty Men's Conference tomorrow, it's going to hurt. Be thou partaker of the afflictions. You know, what kind of competition would it be if we gave you a soft pillow? Well, we're gonna see who can fall asleep the fastest. On a king bed. I'm sure I could get you, all right? That's my wife, all right? Go to James chapter 1. You know, one of the worst things you can do is be someone that can't make a decision. Because really, that's what makes you a woman. Get married for 5 seconds, and you'll realize something about every woman.
Yep.
Now, when I say every, what I mean is all. And not the Calvinist all. I'm talking about all women cannot make decisions.
Yep.
And why do I put them in a management role? Okay?
Yeah.
Talk about this disaster.
Yeah.
Okay? Women are not the decision makers. Right. Men are the decision makers.
Yeah.
What was the first decision we see a woman making? Oh yeah, eating of the fruit on the tree that she's not supposed to eat from. Great decision. Nope, that was a really bad decision, wasn't it? Her next decision wasn't very good either. Give it to her husband. Okay. Hey, I sinned. Why don't you sin with me? You know. And of course, you know, as men, we're supposed to be decision makers. And what makes a great man is someone that can make decisions. But a weak man, an unstable man, a double-minded man is the opposite. Look at verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what? You could just say, he's not a hero.
Yeah.
He's just not a hero. He's easily destroyed. He's not going to ever succeed in anything. He can't make up his mind. Well, I don't know if I'm going to not drink or not. I'm just going to go to the bar, and I'll just kind of see what's going to happen. He's going to drink.
Yep.
Well, I know I shouldn't hang out with this girl, but I probably won't do anything. Mistake.
Yep.
Well, you know, I know that I should go to church, but since I, you know, I don't need to go like every time. I need to get this extra job. I need to do this other thing. You know, the person that just can't make any decision. I don't know where to live. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do with my life. Hey, I'll just try this job for 5 months, and then I'll try another job for 5 months, and then I'll try another job for 5 months, and it's just the guy's just so unstable.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I like this girl, but I just don't know if I want to get married. I don't know what's going on. You know, why can't you just be like Isaac and Rebecca, and this is like day one, bam.
Right.
You know. Why can't you just be like Samson, be like, break up with your girlfriend, I'm picking you up at 7. You know what? He was determined.
Yeah.
All right? And you know what women like? A determined guy.
Yeah.
You know what women like? Women like it when you're just like, hey, I'm going to marry you.
It's good.
Yeah. You're like, they're like, man. Yes. You know what they don't like? Indecision. You know what? Don't ever do this to me, and other people have done this. But it just really pisses me off. When they're just like, hey, we're gonna get married, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, when did you ask her to marry? I didn't. When did you date? I don't know. But I was just kind of like, hey, we should get married, I think, right? She was like, yeah. What? What are you talking about? It's like so weak.
Yeah.
Right. So lame.
Yeah.
I'm like, where's the ring?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you're very determined.
Yeah.
Right. You know, can we stop having this weak? Man, like, hey, I get that you're cheap and everything like that, but wow, that's what you're gonna say about your wife? Like, she's not even worth a Cracker Jack box ring? Like, you couldn't even get on one knee and ask this woman to be your wife for the rest of your life? I'm like, dude, get a ring for her. Be determined. You know, they always say, you got a good woman's like, put a ring on it. There's a, what? Because they're saying, you're mine.
Yeah.
I like you. I want you. I'm into you. And you know what girls like? A guy that's like, I like you.
Yeah.
You know what girls don't like? Well, he kind of likes me, kind of doesn't. I don't know. Like, you know, girls like to be pursued. They like to be desired. They want a guy that's determined. That says, hey, you're mine.
That's good.
And of course, there's been lots of times where girls, a guy's like comes up to her and is like really interested in her, really determined. And she's kind of like, eh. She's playing hard to get. And you got to be like the Benjamites and just catch her when she's dancing. You're going to be my wife when you like that. And eventually you'll like it, okay? Well, may not be today. But, you know, there's plenty of women that did not like her husband at first.
Yeah,
you know? Or at second, or at third. But then just eventually they're just pursuing him so much, they're just like, I guess. And you know what? You can marry up. We all can, because they're all better looking than us. Yeah. The glory of the man, as the Bible literally says. I've never seen a good looking guy from all of them. I don't care how much dress, makeup, lipo, and chopping off their member, it's still ugly as sin. Right? And I don't want it. And you know what? A hero is someone who's determined. You know, the hero isn't like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to rescue the princess from the dragon or not. No, he's just like, I'm going to slay the dragon. I am going to rescue the princess. No, I do want this princess. It doesn't matter what obstacle. It doesn't matter how many levels are in the game. It doesn't matter how many fire moats I have to cross. Like, my life's goal is her. My life's goal is to get to the princess and to rescue her and deliver. I'm already determined. You know, I'm already determined that the decisions that I make, and you know what, as a man, you need to just start making decisions. You know, it's weak when people are like, hey, I'm about to graduate from college. It's like, what are you going to do? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Well, are you going to ever make a decision? You know, usually they're still 28 and in Portland and living with mom and dad in the basement.
Yeah.
Still wondering what they're going to do with their life.
Yeah.
Still wondering if they're going to become a professional video game player. And it's not going to work out. So, you know, get determined. Just pick something. Okay? It's more respectable to pick something than to just never do anything.
Yeah, right.
Just
right.
Never make any decision. You know, just commit to something and stop being so double-minded, because you're destroying yourself. If we get in a car and get on the highway and you're headed on the tollway and it eventually forks, you have to pick a decision. Otherwise, you're just going to crash and die. Yeah. There's nothing worse than just not making decisions.
Yeah.
And as men, you have to grow up and just say, you know what? I don't like option A or B, but I'm going to pick A. You know? And hey, you still have single guys? You might be looking at all the girls out there and be like, I don't really like A, B, and C. Just pick one.
Yeah. Yep.
Because, like, you know what? A, B, and C is better than nothing.
Yeah.
I remember we were arguing about this. It was like, would you rather be celibate for the rest of your life or marry, like, a leftist chick? And I was like, I'll take the leftist all day long. I'll show her what a man is like.
Dude, that other option was off the table.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can make her a fundamental Baptist.
Right.
Because I'm determined. You know what I can't? You know what I can't do? I can't take my imaginary girlfriend and turn into a wife. You know, you can do a lot of things with a young lady, but you can't do anything with nothing. You got to start somewhere. And let me tell you something: get determined. You know, if you want to get married, just decide I'm going to get married.
Yeah.
I'm going to pursue what? You got to find one. You got to get out there. You got to put in the effort. You got to put in the energy. And you know, when you get married, when you find that one, be determined that she's your one for the rest of your life too.
Yeah, man, it's good.
Say, hey, I'm dedicated to you. I'm determined to be with you forever. I'm determined to be your husband. Not to just say like, well, I won't sleep with anyone else. No. I'm determined to be your husband. I'm determined to love you. I'm determined to have the best marriage that we could ever have. Instead of saying like, you know what, my marriage isn't very good. Okay, well just do have the best marriage that you can. Because I guarantee you're probably not married to Hosea's wife. Okay?
Right.
I'm pretty sure you're not married to the worst woman ever. You're not married to Amber Heard, okay?
Yeah.
Right. You're not married to Rosie O'Donnell, okay?
Oh.
You're not married to Lizzo. Oh. You're not married to Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
You're not married to Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay? Oh.
Hey, you know what? There's a lot of room to work with. If you would just become disciplined and a hero and determined, I guarantee you would make major differences in your marriage.
Yeah, man.
But why can't you just say, you know, whatever quality marriage we're going to have, it's going to be the best that I could. whatever it was, you know, maybe it isn't the greatest marriage that's ever been in the history books. They didn't both write a love song duet and sing it for everybody or anything. But you know what? I gave it my all. I put my effort and energy into her, and I'm not just putting my focus and effort and energy into some tranny online that I didn't realize was a tranny. Okay? Because that'll just wreck your life. You know, Job even had to make a covenant with his eyes that he wouldn't think upon me. You know what that tells me? Job was interested in other women.
Yeah.
Why would you have to? It wasn't like Job was just like, I've never had a thought for another woman. I don't like other women. Women are gross. Ew. No, I guarantee Job is epic. He's like epic Chad. Okay? Every girl wants to be with Job. Job is the man. Okay? So he has to be really determined that he's gonna only think about her.
Yeah.
And you know, he did a good job because he had 20 kids, alright? So he was real determined. And you know what's great about being married is that you can enjoy that whenever you want.
Be determined.
Alright? Go to Joshua chapter 1, But when are men just gonna take their life seriously? And just decide, you know what? For the rest of my life, I'm going to just take church seriously. For the rest of my life, I'm never going to drink alcohol ever again. You know what? I'm going to read my Bible every single day. I'm determined to be the hero for my children. I'm determined to be a great husband. I'm determined to be a great father. I'm determined to be a great provider. I'm determined to be a spiritual leader of the faith. I'm determined to be a soul winner for the rest of my life. Amen. I'm determined to be a hero for someone.
Amen.
Come on. I've decided. I've already made up that decision.
Amen.
I'm not going to let my life just go up in smoke and be worthless. I'm going to redeem the time. I'm going to redeem the days. I mean, you only have so much life.
Yeah.
Why waste it? Why not do something great with your life? And you know, we're not all going to necessarily be David. We're not all going to necessarily be, you know, the apostles or Moses. But you know what? You could be Jonadab. You could be a hero for your family.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that Jonadab was not just a hero of them. I guarantee his friends and other people. And even us today, we're looking at Jonadab's example. We're looking at Timothy's example. We're looking at Paul's example. And I guarantee if I ask men in this room today, are there people in your lives that you look up to that were not your family? I bet many of you would say yes. You know, I look up to men like Pastor Anderson as a great hero. And, you know, I look at Pastor Jimenez as a great hero. You know, I look at other of our friends. Pastor Thompson is a great man. He's a great hero to look to.
Amen.
A great man that's willing to do all kinds of, I mean, no one is willing to start more churches than Pastor Thompson. He's determined to preach long sermons no matter what. And obviously he's my hero. So I'm telling you, hey, there are men that aren't even necessarily that spiritual, but I look to as heroes because they're just great men. But you know why they're great? Because they are really disciplined and they're really determined. They work super hard, they're really diligent, they're really smart, they give a lot of effort, they give a lot of energy. And you know what's a common denominator between all the heroes in my life? None of them drink alcohol.
That's true.
And none of them are cheating on their wife.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm just being honest with you. When I think about people, I'm like, man, I really like this person, or I really look up to this person. They always have that in common.
Yep.
And you know what? Those two things destroy men. They cause them to not be the hero that they could be.
Right.
They're the heir and the oh man. They're the Demas. You know, the names that you never hear. I've never met a Demas. I've never met an heir. Okay. Never met an oh man. He can't exist because literally his parents didn't allow him to exist. Okay. Your name oh man, it didn't work. Okay. Lot, it's just no one wants to ever be named Lot ever again. Okay, even the satanic people don't want to be named Lot. Right? Satanic people be like Judas, that's their hero. Right?
Yeah.
Judas Priest.
Right.
Or Avenged Sevenfold or Cain or some weird thing like that. Lucifer, Damien, whatever. You know, they'll have those names. But you know, just no one wants to be Lot. No one wants to be Er. No one wants to be Onan. No one wants to be these Nadabs and Abihus of society. And you know what? We should decide I'm not going to be Er, Onan. I'm going to be someone's hero. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 16. The Bible says, and they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever it be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. You know what word comes to mind when I think of these people?
Determined.
I mean, wow. Hey, if you don't want to follow all the commandments, we're just going to kill you. I mean, how do you think church attendance would be if this was our policy? It's like, hey, thanks for visiting on Sunday morning. Just FYI, if you don't come to Sunday night, we're just going to kill you. Well, we're going to break the record and get ice cream, so, you know, unless you don't show up. Then we're coming to your house. It's a different kind of visitation. I mean, think about what they're saying here. Yeah. And look, this is the word, this literally happened. That's determination. When you say, look, we are going to succeed or die trying.
Yeah.
But you know what? Failure, quitting is not an option.
Amen.
I've already decided, you know what? I'm going to be someone's hero. I'm going to follow Joshua. I'm going to follow. And you know what? They had great success. The book of Joshua is a story of success.
Yeah.
Victory after victory after victory after victory, conquering the promised land and giving their nation the greatest land to ever inherit for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, they did something epic. They did something amazing. They conquered the Philistines, and they conquered the Hivites and the Canaanites, and they conquered so many people and got to inherit the land that their grandchildren and great-grandchildren enjoyed for centuries as a result of their dedication, their determination. And you know, you can never know if your great-great-great-great-grandchildren will keep going. But you know what? You can put a really big dent into the enemy, and you can put a really great heritage forward, and you can have a lot of generations follow you when you get this determined. And all those that knew Joshua and all those around him, they stayed determined. But you know what was the problem? No one after this decided to be the next hero. No one after this decided to be the next hero. Go if you would to Judges chapter 2. This is where it's kind of sad. And this is what I want to tell you. No one in this room will ever be Pastor Stephen Anderson.
Nope.
No one in this room will ever be Pastor Roger Jimenez. But let me tell you something. One day they're going to die, and we need another hero.
Yeah.
We need another person to follow.
It's good.
And you know what? After you die as the hero, we need another hero.
Right.
And we need another hero. And you know what? Why can't you just be someone else's hero? You know, we can't let other people be the hero and just always hope that someone else will step up or hope that someone else will do good. You know, if you're the man of the house, you're the only hope.
Yeah.
You're the only option.
Yeah.
Donald Trump isn't going to raise your family for you. I know. Andrew Tate certainly isn't going to raise your family.
No, no.
He might knock up your wife. But you know, he's not going to raise that child. He's not going to do anything for you. He might pimp out your daughters online for you. But you know what? Andrew Tate isn't going to help you out. You know, you're the only hope. You're the only hero in your family's life. Don't let someone else be their hero either. Because here's another thing that's the reality. Is when there's not a real hero, they still find someone. They're going to make someone their hero. Everyone has heroes. Whether they're good or bad heroes, they're going to make someone a hero. And if you're not the hero, then Andrew Tate becomes a hero. Then some freak will become their hero. Some drug-addicted rapper will become their hero. Some cokehead football player will become their hero. Some adulterer will become their hero. Some Hollywood faggot will become their hero. Robert Patterson. You know, the Twilight guy. Can you imagine if your son say, like, I want to be like the Twilight guy? That just, you just failed as a father. if he's the hero, you're not the hero. I mean, that's just sick. It's just, you know, it's happening. It's happening in our society all over the place because men refuse to be the next generation's hero. What does it say in Judges chapter 2, verse number 10? And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers. So it's talking about the generation that was with Joshua. And it says, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And all the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Now notice in this chapter, of course, they don't know the Lord, but notice what they end up doing. It says in verse number 12, and followed other gods. Notice this word, and follow. Let me explain something to you. Every generation follows. Every generation follows. Yep. Every person follows. You can't help but follow.
That's good.
People say like, oh, you're gonna follow a man. Everyone's following a man.
Yeah, right.
Everyone is following a man. Yeah. It's just which man is it gonna be? Yeah. And when there's no hero to follow, they follow other gods. They follow the Vekna Swamle, the Hindu. That is embarrassing that in America we have a Hindu that is running for political office.
Wow, right.
That's a shame and a mockery.
Yeah.
How in the world do we have a country where literally people are looking at a Hindu and saying, I'm going to follow him?
Wow.
I saw a lady ask a question, which shouldn't have been allowed, to the vet. And she's like, well, what do you think about Christianity and Christian, you know, values and Jesus? And he's just like, well, you know, I have the same Christian Judaic values as you do. No, you don't. You're a Hindu.
Yeah, right.
No, you're an idiot.
Yep.
No, you have other gods.
Yeah.
Literally, if you were in the 16, 17, 1800s, the citizens of America would have dragged you out in the street and stoned you to death.
Yeah, right. Yep.
That's the values that they have.
Yeah, right.
You don't have their values.
Yeah, right.
You're a false prophet.
Yep.
You know, it's wicked that our country has devolved so much that the Hindu has more moral value than the Christians of today.
Yeah.
Oh. Right. But you know why? Because there's no hero to follow.
Yeah.
Because Ryan then stood up and said, hey, I'm a fundamental Baptist. I'll run for the presidency of this country. I'll run to lead this country. I'll do something for this country. Because you know what? We should be a nation of priests. We should be an entire country filled with fundamental Baptists.
Yeah.
We should be only fundamental Baptists. Therefore, the president's a fundamental Baptist.
Yeah.
But you know what? The embarrassment is we didn't have all the men be a hero for the next generation.
Yeah.
And so they allow their children to what? Follow other gods. To get drunk and to get high and to smoke weed and to just go out and fornicate and to allow their daughters to become whores and just go to the whorehouse and we denigrate ourselves so far and so bad that we have Hindus running for political office. You know, and there's obviously open faggots in our government.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg, the faggot. How embarrassing.
Yeah.
We have faggots, Hindus. You have Ilhan Omar, who married her brother in political office, a Muslim. I mean, what country is this?
Yeah, right.
George Washington would take us out in the backwoods and beat our behind so bad.
Yeah.
Our forefathers would be so embarrassed and ashamed. George Washington would fight for our country by himself. He'd be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I'm going to be an army of one, but I'm not going to live in this country.
Yeah, right.
And look, I don't even think the guy was saved. I don't even know if he won. I don't even care. But isn't that, it's still embarrassing that that's where our country has evolved to. Why? Because we don't have any heroes anymore. We don't have any heroes. And you know what? Nothing's going to change until you decide to start being a hero.
That's right.
I can't do it by myself. Pastor Anderson can't do it by himself. You know, it takes a whole generation of men to say, we're going to all be the heroes in our family.
Amen.
Go with the 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you know, the Bible says that God ended up raising up deliverers. It says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those who spoke. How did they get out of the cycle that they were in? Every time they were in this cycle in Judges, someone rose up and became the deliverer. Someone became the hero. How do you get your family out of a horrible cycle? Generational curses. Someone has to stand up and be a hero for the family.
Right.
Someone has to say, you know what? We're not going to be Pentecostal anymore.
Amen.
We're not going to be Catholic anymore.
Right.
We're not going to drink anymore. We're not going to smoke weed anymore. Amen. We're not going to, the men in our household are going to be faithful to one woman forever.
Yeah.
The men in our household are going to work hard and make good money and provide and be sacrificial for the next generation. Yeah. The men in this household are going to spank their children. They're going to use the rod of correction, and they're going to actually get their children under control.
Good.
And they're going to get their children saved. And they're not going to let their children go to the world and be like the world and just destroy their youth and ruin their virginity and ruin their minds and ruin their brains. You know what? Don't be the Amish and give your children to a four-year rumspringa called college.
Yeah.
You know, be very careful with that. Look, I'm all for a high education. And, you know, if the kids can, in the safety of your home or in the safety of very tight-knit boundaries, get a high level of education, go for it. I'm not against education. But, you know, dropping your kids off at some random school hundreds of miles away to live in some dormitory, you're literally just forsaking your child.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like the ostrich that just lays the eggs in the dust.
Yeah.
And just allows all kinds of beasts and animals to trample on them.
Yeah, that's right.
And destroy them and to ruin them. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. 18, 19, and 20-year-old men are not good at making decisions on their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care what the world says. Yeah. You know, at 18, you're not capable of saying no to young women.
Right.
At 19, you're not capable of saying no to young women. At 45, you're not capable of saying no. At 75, you're not capable of saying no to young women.
Yeah.
At 80 years old, David was in bed with Abishag, and she was a young maiden.
Yeah.
But you want to know when you won't be attracted to young women?
Yeah.
When you're dead.
Right.
And even then, I don't know. I'm not even sure. And you say, well, how do I avoid that? You go from mom and dad to wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you always have an accountability partner, something.
Right.
Because roommate is not it.
Yeah.
Brother is not it.
Yeah.
Friend is not it. On your own, not it. You know, Joseph had to literally run out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, and you know, I don't even think I could be Joseph. I don't even know if I would have been Joseph. Let's be honest. I don't know if we would have been as had as much integrity as Joseph. Joseph is a unique person. Okay, most every other man would have failed. He was determined to serve God, and when he found himself in the wrong situation, he literally sprinted in the other direction. His parents dropped him off at college, and he ran away. Okay, he stumbled in the sorority house and was like, ah! Okay. He lost his garment. He was in such haste.
Yeah.
He's just like, I can't even stick around for a second. Why? Because if you're honest with yourself, women have a lot of power over men.
Yeah. Right.
Don't even let them touch you. No. When a woman starts touching you, you've already failed.
Yeah.
Don't let it happen.
True.
And I'm telling you what, this world is filled with women in the workplace. That's why customer service and everything's destroying itself.
Right.
Okay.
That's
why companies lose so much money. I mean, look at Bud Light. Why do they lose so much money?
Yeah.
Woman marketers.
Yeah.
That's right. Good.
No man would have ever put a train.
Good point.
Only a fat hat to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. No straight guy could ever like, what? On the beer can? Hell no. Are we going to blow it up? Where are we going with this? It never happened. Straight guys hate fags, okay?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Every straight, if you don't hate fags, you're not straight.
True that.
I want to be around you. You're already too effeminate for me. Okay, there's something wrong with your brain. Now, girls obviously get confused on that, but you know, men are not confused, and if you're confused, you're a fat. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, here's my last point. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but, you know, we need to be durable. if we're going to be heroes. Because, hey, you could get disciplined for a while, you could be determined, but if you can't last, it doesn't really matter. You got to have all three. You got to be disciplined, you got to be determined, and then you got to be durable. You got to actually last. You got to endure hardness. You got to be someone that can actually compete and finish the battle and do things that are going to be hard. And let me tell you something. Being a hero is not easy, it's hard. If you say, I want to be a hero, well, don't think that you're signing up for an easy task. It's a difficult task. It's a hard task. It's something you're going to have to endure. It's going to have to be something that you put a lot of effort and energy into, and you're going to have to go through struggles. It's not going to be the easiest path. It's going to be the hardest path. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to go to another verse here real quick on this point. But of course, we as our church, you know, obviously we're kind of got a couple churches here, but, you know, the church that is kind of putting on this conference is Steadfast Baptist Church. And I like that name. I've always liked that name.
Yeah.
And why is it? Because it's a core component of being a hero is being someone that's steadfast.
Yeah.
And look, I don't argue one and two are super important, and I elaborate on those points, and we need to accomplish them. But if you never have number three, you'll never be a hero. Mm-hmm. Like, heroes are only the ones that finished. No one wins the race if they don't finish the race.
Yeah.
You have to finish. You have to get to the end. You have to decide, you know what? I'm just not going to quit. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to let the enemy get the best of me. I don't care what pace I'm at. I'm just not going to give up. I am going to be steadfast. I'm going to be unmovable. You know, I love the title of Dylan's sermon, you know, Why We Won't Shut Up. You know why? Because we're steadfast.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Pastor Shelley, when are you going to start changing your tune on the fags? Never!
Amen.
Right. Oh, when are you going to stop preaching against faggots? Never!
Amen.
After we kill all of them, I'm still going to preach.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
Maybe I kill all of them. You know, spiritually. and when the government passes it legally.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't advocate for unlawful
killing.
Murder. I only advocate for lawful execution. Now, here's the thing. If Texas says we need someone to execute homos, I will volunteer. And when I said volunteer, you don't even have to pay me. I'll go a step further. You don't even have to pay for my equipment. I will buy every bullet.
Amen.
This is what I'm willing to do. I mean, there's never been a government program run more efficiently.
Right.
And I guarantee I will find all kinds of deputies that will be willing to help me round them up.
Amen. Amen.
And frankly speaking, it won't even take long because all the other ones will run away screaming. So fast, and it'll be Texas again.
Yeah.
You know,
nice.
Yeah.
You gotta get the beans out of your chili, and you gotta get the facts out of Texas.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's right.
Gotta make Texas, Texas again.
Yeah.
Oh, your state's not, you know, as cool as our state. Well, you know what? Our state literally has a law against being a faggot, at least.
Yep.
Yours doesn't. So, there.
Oh,
California. Well, you know what? It's legal to be a faggot there. So,
yeah.
You know. I wonder why there's so many fags there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look, we need to be steadfast.
Right.
We need to be durable. We need to last. We need not be a flash in the pan. And let me tell you something. When I started pastoring Steadfast Baptist Church, till now, there's a lot of people that didn't last. There's a lot of people that weren't durable. You know, when I started Pure Words Baptist Church to today, boy, is that a different congregation. Boy, is that a lot of different people. And think about what I'm saying. I'm saying in a period of 5 years, it's way different. What about 50 years? 50 years. Who's going to be serving God and fundamental in a church in 50 years?
That's good.
You know what? The person that's already disciplined, determined, and say, I'm going to be your, I'm going to be your harvest. I'm going to be steadfast. Because you know what? Christianity isn't measured in years. It's measured in decades.
Amen. That's good.
That's right. That's right.
It's measured in lifetimes. You know, when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, every single name endured to the end. Every single name was steadfast to the end. Every single name in the hall of faith was durable. Said, hey, you know what? I've already, this isn't my home. I don't care about this. I care about what God wants me to do with my life. And I realize that I'm not going to allow the corruption of this world to stop me from being someone's hero, from being my children's hero. I only have one life to live. And you know what? I'd rather die today as a hero in the faith for my children than to live to be 99 and be a loser for my children. I'd rather some other man raise my children and then remember me as a hero of the faith than to allow myself to be the most derelict loser that gave up on church, that quit on God, that didn't go soul winning anymore, that was just a drunk, derelict, adulterer, loser that looks on online images at AI trannies and thinks that it's women.
Amen.
I mean, and then votes for Donald Trump Jr.
Right.
Well, we got to vote harder this year. You know, let's not vote for machines this year. You won't even make it to them.
Yeah.
You know what? We need some people that are going to say, I am going to be a hero. Because it's more important to just stay steadfast and to stay faithful. You know, God's a faithful creator. And if God wants me to go through affliction and God wants me to die, God wants me to do whatever, then so be it. You know, if God wants me to be the pastor, you know, that has all the negative articles and the most protesters and the most difficulty and the most problems, then I just say, yay. Praise God that I get an opportunity to serve Him.
Amen.
If, whatever God says, hey, I want you to have to do this. You know, I want you to have to pastor in the area that's never going to get rain again. You know, so be it.
Yeah.
Right? And if they drive me out of the land and I have to go out in the wilderness, then you know what? I'll be the pastor in the wilderness. And if they put me here, then I'll be there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what article they write. It doesn't matter what they do to you. You know what? All they can do is destroy your body, and after that, they're done. They can only kill you once.
Yep.
God can kill you for eternity in heaven.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing that you can have. Disappointment for all eternity.
Yep.
You have one opportunity to be a hero.
Yep.
What are you going to do with that opportunity?
It's good.
And you know what heroes do? They capitalize on the one opportunity.
Yeah, it's good.
Heroes were heroes the one time they had a chance to be a hero. Don't be the person that says, you know what, I could have been a hero. I wish I had been a hero. No, just be the hero. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. You know what I like about this sermon? Is you can be a hero no matter what. No one in here doesn't have the opportunity to be a hero. All of you can be a hero. All of you can decide right now, I'm going to be disciplined for the rest of my life. I'm going to be determined for the rest of my life. And you know what? I'm going to endure. I'm going to be durable for the rest of my life. I've already decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
There is no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm going to be a hero to the people in my life. I'm going to be a hero to my wife. I'm going to be a hero to my children. I'm going to be a hero to my grandchildren. I'm going to be a hero to my church members in my church. I'm going to be a hero to my soul winning partner. I'm going to be a hero to my pastor. You know what? There's people in my church that I look at and I say, wow, that guy's my hero. Because you know what? He was willing to get fired for preaching the Bible.
Amen.
And he's not even a pastor.
It's good.
You know, that's a hero to me.
Amen.
The person that's a soul winning captain in my church is a hero to me. The person that, you know, is willing to just come to church when the doors are open, they're heroes to me.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you about a couple of heroes in our church. How about Tony and Eva Garcia?
Yeah.
How about some heroes?
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question, and I love them, and I don't think they'll ever quit. But what if they quit church tomorrow? And then we never heard from them. They wouldn't be remembered as heroes. And look, they've done a lot of great things. They're great people.
Yeah.
You know what makes someone a hero? They die hero.
Yeah.
they die here, which means they didn't give up, which means they didn't stop, it means they didn't just allow themselves to be destroyed. What does it say in Proverbs 24, verse 10? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's not a hero. The person that gives up, the person that quits, the person that doesn't want to do it, you know what? They're just not heroes. And you know what? And your church and our church, almost everyone's not going to be a hero. That's probably the reality. But you know what? No one is stopping you except for yourself from being a hero. You can be a hero. You can say, you know what? I've seen hundreds of people come and go from this church, but I've been here. I've seen hundreds of people go from church, but I'm in church. I've seen hundreds of people come and go as soul winners, but I'm a soul winner. I've seen hundreds of people come and say, you know what? I'm going to change my life, and then they go straight back to me. You know what? Me and my children, my sons and my daughters and my wife, we are going to drink wine forever.
Yep.
Yeah. We're never going to stop being fundamental Baptists. We're going to be fundamental Baptists forever. We're going to be Christians forever. We're going to be heroes. Me and my sons are going to be heroes forever. So, thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us such a great example to follow for your Son and how he is the ultimate hero and savior of our faith. And of course, we understand he's a hero because he was willing to go through the ultimate suffering. We understand that he was perfectly disciplined, he was perfectly determined, and he endured the cross, despising the shame. And of course, he's durable because he ever liveth, making intercession for us. And I pray that we'd also look at the great men of the faith that are mentioned in the Bible. We look to their example and we realize the importance of us also being examples for the next generation. And how being a mighty man is something that we all need to strive for. We should all strive to be the heroes in our lives. And I pray that you would put in every man's heart a desire to love their children enough to be a hero, to love their wife enough to be a hero, to love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to be a good example, to give him honor and glory. I pray that you would help strengthen us all for the fight of our life. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go turn to page 56. Sing our last song when we all get to heaven. Page 56. When we all get to heaven, sing out all the first.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Thank you.